This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Well, thank you everyone for coming today and for listening in. We are developing a plan to ensure that the Keystone XL pipeline is built through the state of South Dakota in a safe and efficient manner while protecting our states and our counties, our water, our environment, and our people throughout that build. We're going to make sure that we cover all extraordinary law enforcement costs as this goes forward, and you all know that I have long been a supporter of an all-of-the-above energy approach in our country, and have been a supporter of a safe build of the Keystone XL pipeline for many years through the state of South Dakota. Now, I understand the importance of moving these energy resources around the country through safe and secure infrastructure, including pipelines, and this should be a national priority. Environmental impacts associated with alternative transportation scenarios, such as shipping oil by rail, by barge, and by truck, are significantly greater than by a pipeline. It will be safer to move these energy resources through this pipeline than how we do it today. South Dakota is a flow-through state for this project. What we have to gain from this project is simply construction and excise taxes during construction and the county property taxes and other local taxes that will be collected each year afterwards. Those property taxes will be significant, and those are real dollars helping to pay for our local schools and our local governments in most of these rural counties. But we live in a new world where protests often develop into riots, they slow and they stop construction, and we support free speech and freedom of assembly in South Dakota, but we do not support riots. These riots are often nationally coordinated, out-of-staters who come in to disrupt and often cause undue jeopardy and harm to the people and environment around them. So I support building this pipeline, and so do a majority of the people living in South Dakota, but we will not tolerate riots while this build is ongoing. We will also cover our extraordinary costs related to law enforcement, and what we do in these bills is create funds to make sure we can collect the necessary dollars to cover those costs going forward. These extraordinary costs would not be incurred but for the build of this pipeline, and that is why we are asking others through this legislation to be a part of the funding solution. Now, the first part of the legislative package creates a transparent process for fees and other funds to be collected from a variety of sources. It will pay for extraordinary costs associated with the pipeline construction. We also will give the company a seat at the table to help decide what would be an appropriate use of the definition of extraordinary costs, and that they will have some ability to weigh in on that decision-making process on what would be reimbursable through the Peace Fund. We also, the second part of the legislative package, creates a second fund and legal remedies to pursue out-of-state money funding many of these riots aimed at shutting down the pipeline build. So many of the times when these construction projects get created and are started and happen, we see out-of-state people come into the state with out-of-state money funding a very disruptive riot that shuts down progress. And this second piece of legislation that we put forward today allows us to go after them and those money funders to make sure that that does not happen here in South Dakota. So to the best of our knowledge, this type of approach has not happened anywhere in the nation before. And this next generation pipeline construction model was developed to directly address issues caused by out-of-state rioters funded by out-of-state interests that have attacked nearby projects. The current model for developing major energy infrastructure projects clearly needed to have an update. So under the Peace Fund and the Riot Recovery Fund, the state, counties, federal government, pipeline companies, and rioters will all share in law enforcement costs. So with that, I'll take any questions that you may have. And I believe you've all had the legislation to look at for a little while.
Do you know who some of these out-of-state funders are? And do you consider what happened in North Dakota to be a riot?
To be what? Yes, it was very disruptive. There was, at many times, violence occurred and was very costly for the state, the taxpayers of North Dakota, and we are working very hard in planning and have been planning for many months to ensure that that does not happen in South Dakota as the Keystone XL pipeline gets built across our state. That's why we have been talking to TransCanada and consulting with them and with other law enforcement officers, with people from the different counties throughout the state, recognizing with our Department of Public Safety that we needed to be prepared for building this pipeline in a safe manner. So we will make sure that as this gets built, that we not only have a source of funding to make sure that we're not bankrupting counties and local governments while we build this and incur extraordinary costs, but also that we'll be able to go after and aggressively pursue those who choose to fund violent activities in the state of South Dakota.
Yeah, can you point to some examples of those groups and elaborate on that?
Well, typically they align themselves and term themselves as environmentalists, but not necessarily how I would define an environmentalist. And I'd say the most typical national offender that we see funding these types of activities would be George Soros. So those types of entities that want to come in and create disruption on a build with this infrastructure is what we're hoping to shut down.
Governor, did you have any specific intelligence reports to point at a group that would be targeting South Dakota for protests at this time?
Well, I'm not going to speak to security or discussions that we've had about concerns, but we do have concerns. We have, as a state of South Dakota and the Department of Public Safety, already spent over 6,000 hours planning and working with law enforcement officials and county governments to plan this build. And just know that we have a lot of information that we've brought in. We also have talked to national partners that have experienced this type of disruption before and know that we do not want to see happen in South Dakota what happened up in North Dakota. So we will be better prepared. We will have a funding mechanism in place to make sure that costs are covered, and we will also make sure that everyone is protected and safe and our environment and water is safe while the build happens.
It sounds like Energy Transfer Partners, which was the Dakota mm-hmm. Access developer, they had tried to sue Greenpeace on some kind of RICO charges, and that was dismissed, but they're still pursuing that. Did that provide any framework for this legislation?
We did not use that as a consultation piece to put together our legislation. Our legislation we put together working on this for several months, knowing that we wanted to go to out-of-state funders and really go after those who fund these types of activities around infrastructure projects.
Can you elaborate on
your... Hello?
Yep, go ahead.
Yes, Todd Apkello Radio. A couple of questions here. One, what is, I know you have some intelligence here that you probably can't reveal because of the nature, but how sure are you that Soros and other groups like his are funding these out-of-staters that, for example, went to North Dakota?
Quite sure, Todd.
Okay, and is this from FBI, from DCI? Can you at least say the law enforcement source of that information?
No, I will just tell you that we have been working on this for many, many months. In fact, Governor Dugard brought me in with his transition team right after the election, and we started meeting with officials and Department of Public Safety and other agencies within the state of South Dakota, looking at the information they had already gathered and what we could do to be prepared for this build. So they had gone over about 6,000 different hours invested in planning, and we have continued to do that, which is why you see these two bills before you today.
And then this is more of a procedural question, but I don't know if you've seen it or not. The South Dakota ACLU says that they're suspicious that you're bringing this legislation so close to the end of the session with the possibility of there not being public hearings on it unless the rules are suspended. Do you have in mind anything of, and I know it's not your job anymore, you're not a legislator, you're the governor, but what would you want to see in terms of how the legislature considers this bill and how the public can be involved in the discussion of its merits?
These bills are being introduced today in a transparent manner. They were introduced today. They will have a couple of days before they will be scheduled for a hearing. They will have hearings before the House and Senate legislators and a full vote on the House and Senate floor. So there will be plenty of time for input, for feedback on the legislation, and for these legislators to make their decision going forward. The reason we're at the point we are today introducing these bills is because we've had ongoing discussions with all the stakeholders to make sure that we are protecting free speech, freedom of assembly, but also making sure that we're not condoning and facilitating riots. And we wanted to make sure that this legislation was appropriate and correct and would do the job that we're asking it to do. So that's where we find ourselves today, and just know that the reason they were introduced today, a couple of days before their hearing, is because I'm so passionate about transparency.
Thank you, Governor.
Can you elaborate how you're going to pursue out-of-state money?
Well, if you look at the second piece of legislation, what it does is allow us to go after and to sue individuals that would bring in money towards funding rioters, those who are in the state actively using disruptive activities or violent activities to do harm or disruption to the project, to people, and to slow this operation down. So the definition is out in the legislation, if you take a look at it, and it will allow us and give us the power to go after and sue those individuals. And that those dollars that would be collected through that process would go into the fund that would help cover these extraordinary costs.
And how are you defining disruptive actions?
Disruptive actions would be beyond peaceful assembly and beyond peaceful protests.
With that legislation, I think I remember with DAPL, there were like GoFundMe accounts set up for people's supplies at the camps and stuff. Would that allow you to go after people who fund the GoFundMe?
I believe it would. I would leave that to the attorneys to decide, but it would allow us to go after individuals who knowingly fund those types of riots.
So that would include individuals who post like bail for those who got arrested or give gas money and that sort of thing?
We'll get back to you on those specifics.
In terms of the peace fund, do you have any sense of how much money will be put into it immediately by TransCanada and other sources?
You know, we do have an individual amount that will be deposited into the account. Beyond that, it will be based on what those extraordinary costs are and how they are defined. And then within the Department of Public Safety, there will be a director that will sit down with other team members, and a member of TransCanada will be a part of that team to define and make sure that we are appropriately, looking at each individual expense and deciding if that is something that could be falling into that term of extraordinary cost in the legislation to cover it. If it falls outside of that cost, then obviously TransCanada would not be responsible for covering that cost. But know that also other funding pieces of that fund could be federal dollars that may flow in to help the state through this build. It may be the state of South Dakota that is covering ordinary law enforcement costs. We will all be partners in making sure that this happens in a smooth manner, and really what this legislation does is lay it out clearly so everyone knows their roles and what is expected of them as we build this pipeline.
Time for one more. I was going to ask
Governor,
go ahead, Lee. You go first.
I was going to ask if the tribes were also consulted on this.
The legislation was finalized this weekend. It is now public, and we're looking forward to their feedback. Was there a question on the phone?
Well, I think he kind of touched on that. I was going to ask about the tribes and federal government, because they had their own concerns up in North Dakota. But it sounds, Governor, have you had any discussion with the tribes, or are you waiting for feedback from them?
We have talked to different individuals within the tribal governments, but we also have Chairman Flute, who is my tribal affairs secretary, who has been a part of these consultations. He's a former chairman of the Sisseton-Wahpeton tribe and understands tribal governments and the concerns of the other chairmen and presidents across the state of South Dakota. But now that the legislation is public is when we are asking for their feedback. And so they will be able to take a look at it and make sure that it is something that they can see as a transparent process for having this build happen across the state of South Dakota. I'm well aware that some of our tribal leaders are not in favor of building the pipeline, but we should all be in favor of it being peaceful, protecting people throughout the process, about free speech and free assembly, and making sure that we don't have riots and violence in the state of South Dakota. All of us as leaders should be able to agree on that.
Sure. One follow-up. Do they have any TransCanada know roughly how long construction will be in South Dakota, if all goes well?
No, we don't have a time frame. Right now, the project is on hold because of court action, and we'll look and see what that time frame looks like when that's lifted.
And I just wanted to confirm.
Go ahead, James.
Would tribes also be considered entities where costs could be recovered from in the same way as groups or other individuals?
No, I don't think we're looping. Tribes should not incur any costs. From this build.
In terms of the, seeking those civil, recovering money from outside groups or people who bring in protesters.
The bill does not specifically say that we would only go after individuals out of state if someone came in and committed violence against communities, against people, and was doing damage to equipment during the build. That would be of grave concern, and they would be, this legislation could possibly impact them as well.
If tribes were providing support to protesters, liable in the same way as other groups?
I believe that our tribes, when they come and protest and want to give their opinion on this build, will want to come in a peaceful manner and have peaceful assembly and speech.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you.